Susan Brown joins us now from the Chapel Hill Public Library on what is rapidly developing into one of my favorite times of the week. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, I was getting kind of tired. It's been a long day, but as soon as I get in here, I get all excited because we're going to talk about
books. You were yawning
when
you came in.
I was.
Yeah, and you're not now, which
not
is great.
Not now.
Yeah.
Woke right up.
Awesome. So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about books.
Yes.
And things. I thought we would start by the big news in the book world this week.
Which is?
Have you heard?
Oh, Harper Lee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to be. I've got a friend who is super excited about this when we heard the news. So Harper Lee has got a new novel coming out. Or not a new novel, but she wrote it in the 50s, right?
She wrote it. So the story goes like this. And this news broke yesterday or the day before.
Yesterday,
and it was, it was all over the Twitter
and
Facebook, and the libraries are talking about it. And there's a 2 million first printing.
Wow.
2 million books.
That's
going to
sell out immediately, too.
Insane to think about. So the story is, she actually wrote this. It's called To Set a Watchman, I think.
Yep.
As her first novel. Mm-hmm. And it was a story of a woman named...
Go Set a Watchman.
Thank you. The story of a woman named Scout, who's an adult, and her relationship with her father. And I guess parts of it would be looking back on some of her childhood. And she sent it in, and they said, rewrite it from the perspective of Scout and talk more about Scout as a child.
Yes.
And she went and wrote what became To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. And that got published. So then this was lost.
Yeah.
All this time.
To the point where, like, Harper Lee didn't even realize it still existed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So in the 24 hours since this is broke, there's some skeptics raising some questions.
Yes.
So part of them are questioning the timing.
Right.
So Harper Lee's sister recently died. And Harper Lee is, I think it's fair to call her recluse, or she's reclusive, but she's very protective and a very private person. And her sister was really the buffer between her and the world. And they are saying that her sister never would have let this go forward.
Yes.
And now their sister has passed away. Her lawyer has all of a sudden found this manuscript and isn't this miraculous. So I have highest hopes that we are about to embrace a literary treasure.
Yes.
The skeptic in me is also like, oh, I hope it's all for the good. Because Harper Lee is in ill health. She's had some serious health issues. I think there are, from my understanding, there are days when she's more lucid than others. And so I'm hopeful.
And she's, 80-something, right?
She's up there. So I'm hopeful, and she's an American treasure, and it's one of our greatest books, To Kill a Mockingbird. But I'm torn.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's huge
a fascinating
news.
Story. And it's not going to change a word of To Kill a Mockingbird. So
correct.
To Kill a Mockingbird is still going to be there. Someone was talking about this with Ghostbusters, I think a couple of days ago. I heard someone having a conversation about
this. I like how we
this.
Went from To Kill a Mockingbird straight to Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah. But they're coming out with
the female remake,
right, with Kristen Wiig, who I actually don't like, which is sacrilege to say. But the other three, Melissa McCarthy and Leslie Jones and Kay McKinnon, love them. So they're coming out with a remake, and like people were complaining, oh, God, it's going to ruin my childhood. They're going to blah, blah, blah. And someone said, look, the original movie's not going to change.
That's
so
a great
even
point.
If you don't like the remake, you can still go back if you like the original, this is another point of sacrilege. I'm not a big fan of the original Ghostbusters.
Oh, come on now.
I watched it too late. I was in my, like, late 20s.
I should storm out of the studio
You really
now.
Should, yeah. You'd have the majority of America on your side.
That's right. They would be with me.
It's horrible to say. But like, the original's still around, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Still the same.
That's why I segued.
So back to books.
Yes.
There are other authors with books coming out soon.
Yes.
So instead of talking about books on a theme today, I thought that I often do shameless self-promotion for the library.
Right.
I thought I would do shameless self-promotion or promotion of others in the area, other bookstores with great authors coming up, because there are a ton of really great author events coming up.
This is one of those instances where the word shameless is not a derogatory word. It should be shameless. You should not feel shame.
That's right. Promoting books and reading
books
and authors and independent bookstores.
And independent bookstores, yeah. Flyleaf and McIntyre's both are awesome, both
absolutely.
In Chapel Hill and Pittsburgh. McIntyre's is technically Pittsburgh, right?
They are.
Yeah.
And I didn't even check
right
the regulator schedule because they're in Durham and they're awesome.
Yes. But I am got a lot coming up.
We
just
do.
With those two, yeah.
And I am going to start with, and a couple of these are kind of under the radar authors, mm-hmm. so it's kind of fun to promote them. But I am going to start at the library.
Okay.
Just announced. So our friends group has long done the Meet the Author Tea series, which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And often on Chapel Burr, there are photos of the tea and the cookies.
Yes,
and
yes.
Somebody, I think it's Fig Newtons. They had a gentleman who came to the
Wait a minute, you just said somebody. I think it's Fig Newtons. Like, is there someone named
Fig
day, Newtons
Aaron,
who's
no,
running the office?
But it was a gentleman. The way I understand the story is a gentleman who he was a regular at the Meet the Author Tees for many, many years, and he passed away. Mm. And I think that he actually left some money so that they would always have. It's either Fig Newtons or Milano's at a Meet the Author Tee. So there's one cookie
okay.
that will always be there because of this gentleman. Money probably
really
ran
awesome.
Out years ago, but they still
they have
do,
to
it.
Do it. Yeah, of course.
So they do the
That's
meet
actually
the
really
teas.
Cool.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, yeah.
And on those days, I carry my big purse, so when I can go up to the meet the other tea and put the cookie. No, I don't do that.
Yeah,
I only have one cookie.
Uh-huh.
I save the rest for the public.
Yes.
So they generally
You're
have
the
one per month.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes they just, there's an abundance.
Yeah.
So they've had a bunch recently, and they're booked up for the spring. And this one was just announced Thursday, February 19th, an author named Jonathan Odell. Hmm. And this is his second or third novel. It's called Miss Hazel and the Rosa Parks League. It sounds really, really great. His first novel was well-received, and the name just escaped me. But this is a book for readers who like The Help. Or mm-hmm. The Secret Life of Bees.
Mm-hmm.
And it is set in pre-civil rights Mississippi, which is where the author's from. It's about two women who share two things in common. They both have lost a child, and they both cannot stand the other one. So one is a wealthy white lady,
uh-huh.
and one is an African-American woman.
Okay.
And so the wealthy white lady, I think in the blurb for it, I think she wrecks her car into a nativity scene. And
like you do,
there's some hijinks there. So
this is
one of those sort of there's comedic touches to a drama and a deep story about friendship and the civil rights mm-hmm. period in the South. But she wrecks her car and her husband hires the other woman, the African-American woman, to nurse her.
Okay.
They can't stand each other.
Okay.
And through this story, they find commonalities through the loss of a child, but it's also set just before the civil rights era and before everything was going to change.
There's a little bit of Driving Miss Daisy in there as well.
A little bit of that,
right.
So it's sort of that, it's literary, but it doesn't sound cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a great book club pick. And again, if you like The Help or The Secret Life of Bees,
mm-hmm.
So we're very excited. We're doing this in conjunction with Flyleaf.
Okay.
When they double book or get overbooked, they often call us. So that is Thursday, February 19th. It's a little bit earlier. Usually the refreshments are at 3:30 and the program's at 4. This one, the refreshments start at 3 and the program starts at 3:30. So if you want the Milanos and or the Fig Newtons, get there at 3.
Now you got to have both.
I know.
Yeah.
One for each cheek. You know, pack them away like a squirrel.
Fig Milanutons.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are so many flavors of Milanos now.
Yeah.
When I grew
yeah.
up, there was just Milanos. Now
there
mint,
are quite a few
orange,
flavors of Newton
all of them.
As
yes,
well.
There are.
Strawberry Newton and... Is that it?
But that's a different show. That's a different show.
Okay.
That's the cookie recommendation show.
The cookie recommendation show. Yeah, it's coming up at 6 o'clock.
Right.
Susan Brown is coming back in an
yes,
hour and
to
20
talk
minutes.
Cookies.
We're talking cookies.
So the next one that I want to talk about, so the first one I talked about, it was February 19th.
Yep.
2 days before, Tuesday, February 17th,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited about this one. Gabrielle Zevin, or Zevin, I think it's Zevin,
mm-hmm.
Wrote one of the biggest books of last year. It was sort of started out as a sleeper, and then it became just a great word-of-mouth book called The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Algonquin Books, which is right here in Chapel Hill, has long been. And so she's coming to Flyleaf at 7 for a reading and signing. And this is an homage to bookstores and the reading life. So it's great that we have a book about independent bookselling.
Nice.
At an independent bookseller.
Yeah.
So this one is set. It's a cranky owner, A.J. Fickrey, of a small independent bookstore on an island in the Northeast. And he's super cynical and he's depressed. He's a widower and he's fairly young. And his wife loved books like he did. And he sort of feels like no one else has that love of books now,
mm-hmm.
shares that. So then some terrible things happen. A rare book of his is stolen. He gets into a disagreement with his the bookseller, the person that provides them him his books, mm-hmm. his agent or whatever the word is.
Whatever.
Distributor, yeah. thank yeah. you. And somebody leaves a baby at the bookstore.
Of course, like you
right?
do, right? Right.
Just another typical day yeah, in the life yeah. of an independent bookseller. Yeah. So these three things happen, and that opens the part of the book where he learns that not only within this island, but in the world and all around him, there are also people that love books and love stories. Mm. It is delightful without being cheesy. It is feel good, but again, not corny. It's got a little bit of an old-fashioned feel.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved it. And yeah. the author, I met her briefly at a conference, and I can't wait to see her again because
really
it's
cool.
just going to be
Is she going to be reading from that book then?
Or? She is.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So if you liked something up there with the Guernsey Literary Potato Peel Society book that was big
okay.
a couple years ago, it's, again, it's literary without being schlocky.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's a nice novel about the love of books.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people.
Yeah. I like it.
And babies left in bookstores.
And babies left in bookstores, which also gets back. I have no idea where that's. There's no other novel that I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know. Babies left.
Babies left in bookstores. I'll ponder that for a minute.
Sounds kind of like a Dickens thing, maybe.
A little bit.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There's more. Oh, the other one. I had forgotten about this one. Let me pull it up on the smartphone here.
Uh-oh.
This is the one that I'm really excited about.
This is modern technology at work.
I know, right? The following week, Wednesday the 25th, Kim Gordon
yes.
from Sonic Youth has mm-hmm. a book out, Girl in a Band. And it is all about her role as a mother, as a woman in the music business, as an iconic rocker. So she's actually going to be reading from the book at the Cat's Cradle.
Nice.
And the guy who was the drummer for Superchunk, John Worster,
yes.
is going to be sort of moderating a conversation.
Oh, that's really cool.
So that's going to be a great event. Wednesday, February 25th, the discussion's at 7, and then they're going to sign books afterwards.
Think about a book reading at Flyleaf. That's going to, or at Cat's Cradle. That's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And maybe they'll play some music, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that one's going to be great. And then the other one that I wanted to pull out, and this is definitely a lesser-known author who I only discovered a year or two ago, and she now lives in the mountains of North Carolina. Her name is Jamie Mason,
mm-hmm.
and she's coming to McIntyre's. This is in March, March 14th. That's a Saturday. And her new book is called Monday's Lie. And that one I have not read yet, but it's about a woman whose mother was a covert spy agent, and she's facing some challenges in her life, and she learns through what her mother did, how to face these challenges in her current life. It's kind of a Hitchcock-feeling thriller.
Okay.
Don't know much about that one, but I loved her first book. And her first book was called Three Graves Full. And as we've talked about on here before, I love the Coen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I love Hitchcock. And I love Patricia Highsmith.
You would love a novel that takes a nursery rhyme and turns it into a murder mystery.
What's that?
Three Bags Full, right?
Oh.
Yes,
well,
sir,
this
yes,
is Three Graves Full,
right? Isn't that the references?
Yes.
I don't even know. Okay.
Sort of.
That's kind of what I thought.
Maybe.
That's the first thing that I thought of when you said that.
I actually hadn't even thought about
yeah.
that. Three Graves Full.
Baa Baa Black Sheep Heavy
right.
on Your Wall. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three
yes.
Graves Full. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway. That
would be the sort of thing that Hitchcock would do, right?
Right, right, yeah, right.
Or at least the Coen brothers.
So you also know that I love books with great first lines.
Yes.
So the first yep. line of Three Graves Full, and this was her first book, is there is very little peace for a man with a body buried in his backyard. So the main character is Jason Getty, and he's pretty stressed out because he buried a body in his backyard.
Okay.
Okay.
On
and
purpose.
Then, yes,
okay.
on purpose. A landscaper accidentally discovers not one but other bodies buried in his backyard.
All right.
So it sets up this great premise of
yeah.
he's completely worried, which is like it makes me think of a Roald Dahl, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes,
Alfred
yeah.
Hitchcock plot. So in the book, he's constantly worried about his body being found, and yet he is delighted when the case is closing on these other two bodies,
right.
and he's got to act like he's outraged and shocked that two bodies are in his backyard,
yeah.
and yet he's always in the back of his mind thinking, when are they going to drop the dime on the other
yeah.
ones?
Yeah.
So if you like Hitchcock, and again, the Coen brothers, it was a great first novel, came out of nowhere, so I'm looking forward to her second novel, which she's going to talk about at McIntyre's in the middle of March 14th.
And then before that, Let's break it down again. February 17th at Flyleaf is...
Yes, is the Storied Life of AJ Fikry.
AJ Fikry. And then Thursday the 19th at the library...
Jonathan O'Dell and Miss Hazel and the Rosa Parks League.
And then the following week at Cat's
Cradle,
Kim Gordon.
Yes, Kim Gordon.
Reading from her new book.
On the 25th.
On the 25th, which is a what? That's a Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yep, Wednesday. So 3 weeks from today, tonight.
Yep.
3 weeks from tonight at Cat's Cradle. That's going to be a really cool event. So
and then
really
you can
cool
take
stuff.
A little break.
Yeah. Yes.
And March 14th, you can go see Jamie Mason at McIntyre's, and I'm sure I've missed a gazillion other
but
authors.
But all of those sound worthwhile, yeah.
But we are incredibly blessed to have so many great independent bookstores
mm-hmm.
and also publishers with Algonquin Books right in this area.
Yep. Awesome. Well, check out all of those. Those are going to be really cool events. And check out the bookstores as well. Flyleaf in Chapel Hill and McIntyre's. If you get down to Farrington Village, check that out, because that's a really cool bookstore.
And the Friends bookstore at the library.
The bookstore at the library. Purple Crow in Hillsboro. The
that's
Regulator
right.
in Durham. Every single town or city in our area has this really cool local bookstore, and I love it. Awesome. Susan Brown, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
All right.